Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, March 21st, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to speak with Ronald Rasmussen, superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Ron's bringing in Steve and Mel from Howe, and we're going to talk about their aviation club and some other fun things. We have with us on the phone Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston right now. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing good over here. Do I have this right? Did you just wrap up the legislative breakfast?
I did, yeah. We had a really good turnout, as always. The Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce always puts on a legislative breakfast, usually a couple times a year. And myself and Representative Krug and Senator Corey Tomchek, who now represents the northern half of Wood County, we had a really good conversation and outlined some of the legislative initiatives that we're working on, and then also kind of given a highlight of the state budget process. And as always, it was a good turnout and a good conversation.
Good to hear. We're going to talk more about being out in the public and hearing from the constituents in a little bit, but I know how much those events mean to you guys and to the community, so good to hear that it went really well, and thanks a lot for being able to squeeze us in here, especially because we got a handful of things you and I really wanted to talk about. Recently, you had a bill passed that extends the Enhanced Prescription Drug Monitoring Program. Can we dive into that a little bit?
Sure. So back in 2013, as part of the HOPE agenda, dealing with the opioid epidemic, there's been a lot of initiatives passed by the legislature, and the good news is that they've always received broad bipartisan support. And so when the PDMP was first established in 2013, there was originally a three-year sunset. And so back in my first session, I worked with, at the time, Representative John Nygren from my hometown of Marinette, who was the lead author and the creator of the EPDMP, to do an additional five-year sunset. Well, of course, 5 years ago, sort of went to back of our mind, and when we were working on a different legislation, which had an interaction with the PDMP, it was brought to our attention that we are coming up on the sunset of April of 2025, and this has been such a great tool for our medical professionals, our law enforcement professionals, to cut down on the number of opioid prescriptions that are handed out. Also provides a lot of valuable data as far as overdoses around the state. And so we rushed quickly to get this bill through. And so it passed the Senate on Tuesday with unanimous support and passed the Assembly just this week. And so it should be heading to the governor's desk very shortly to get signed. And we'll have this tool continuing for at least the next 5 years.
You know, with every day, it feels like there's not only, you know, new problems to solve, but there are the ones from yesterday to deal with. And trying to keep up with this can be quite busy. Keeping our eye on the ball with this one is so vital, the way it bleeds into so many other topics and other issues.
Well, that's just it. I mean, unfortunately, with the opioid epidemic, you know, I think just about everyone in the state of Wisconsin knows someone either directly or indirectly who's been impacted by this in the negative way. And so, you know, making sure that we continue to have these tools available for our medical professionals, for law enforcement, is critically vital to the mission success of making sure that we are doing everything in our power to cut down on the opioid crisis, which unfortunately has taken far too many lives. And as I'd mentioned, the good news is this is one area where we have seen support from across the aisle and hope to continue that moving forward.
And this is, I imagine, just as it would be important to you no matter what, but certainly has an added layer to it. You are on the role, you are as a vice chair at the Senate Health Committee as well. Having to do that and everything. Recently, you were asked by the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin to serve on a legislative panel during their annual lobby day in Madison. So I felt this is a perfect segue into that, if you don't mind telling us how that went.
Yeah, so the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, they have their lobby day like so many organizations do every year, especially around this time of year. And so we had a lot of pharmacists from around the state, but more importantly, a lot of pharmacy students. And what's so great about these panels, you've got Republicans and Democrats from both houses just there to kind of give a legislative update, but more importantly, to really send a message, particularly to those students, you know, whose professions are ultimately impacted by decisions that we make down in Madison, why it's so important for them to be engaged in this process. Because oftentimes, you know, unless we have direct experience You know, we need to know how the things that we work on impact people directly. And so, you know, these are individuals who are going to be doing this on a day-to-day basis when they begin their careers in as pharmacists or pharmacy techs. And so, you know, making sure that they're sharing their stories and educating policymakers on why legislation is, you know, to the benefit or sometimes even to the detriment of their profession. And so it's always a really good discussion and great feedback, and I was happy to participate in it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where being able to be around people who are in a similar industry or the same industry, there's plenty that you can read in books and teachers can teach you, but being able to talk to individuals who have real-life experience, who knows the information and the input they can share in those situations, that's very cool to hear. I want to take a moment to remind everybody that Senator has a great e-letter that he sends out. It can show up right in your email box. All you got to do is have an email address and it can show up for you. And all the information we talk about here and some other information can be found there. And I find it to be a very good resource. And if I can be blunt with the audience, whether you voted for Senator Testen or not, I cannot encourage you enough to sign up for this letter. He represents all constituents, and this is important information for those of us here in Central Wisconsin to know about. And it's where you can find interesting articles through and things that you are up to so much and do so much. I think some things we don't even get a chance to touch on very often. And I really wanted to take a moment to talk about this part in the e-letter about recovering unclaimed property. It was recently announced that approximately $9.9 million in unclaimed property in Wisconsin has returned to its rightful owners. That feels like a pretty big headline, sir.
Yeah, I mean, every year this is, you know, people, they inherit properties that they may not have known they had, or, you know, people just forget of the cash that's out there. And so we have a great program that's run through the treasurer's office, and there's links available. You can go and see if you have any unclaimed property out there. And it's primarily a great way to ensure that, look, if you've got assets out there, we want to get that money back to its rightful owners.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that I think, again, just like I was saying with life, you know, we get so busy and there's so much that goes on. Everybody knows, especially once you get to a certain age, April, I got to do my taxes. But how many of us get to like April 10th and we're like, oh, my God, I haven't done my taxes yet. It's understandable. But that's where it's so important for you to do that. Take that extra leap, do that extra step and look into these things and make sure that you're getting the money that is rightfully yours.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Testen right now. And, sir, I was touching on this earlier. The Joint Finance Committee has announced listening sessions and the schedule for this for 25 through 27 state budget. How is that going? What are you looking forward to about these?
Yeah, so it was just announced earlier this week. We are going to have four Joint Finance Committee listening sessions around the state. So this is where all the members of the Finance Committee and if any other of our colleagues who aren't on the Finance Committee want to attend, it's a tremendous way for folks to give us their feedback and input on the state budget process. And so we will be going around the state starting on Wednesday, April 2nd. We'll be up in Kaukauna at the high school from 10 a.m. to 5. In fact, all of these are run from 10 a.m. until 5. Friday, April 4th at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, down in West Allis, Monday, April 28th at the Hayward High School Auditorium from 10 to 5. And then the closest one to us is actually going to be on Tuesday, April 29th at the North Central Technical College up in Wausau. And so typically we get anywhere from 200 to 400 people that show up to these and usually get a couple minutes to lend your feedback. And this is where folks have a direct opportunity to lend public input into the state budget. And of course, if people can't make it, obviously you're still able to submit written testimony to the committee. And also, I know myself and many of my colleagues, we are going around our respective districts as well to solicit feedback. In fact, myself and Representative Scott Krug a couple of weeks ago held a joint session at McMillan Library, and we had a really good turnout. We had probably just shy of 70 people, and you know, it was great to hear from folks and to kind of lay out how the budget process works from our end and educate people on the nuances and all the fun wrinkles that go into crafting a 2-year state budget.
How have these sessions been going for you, Representative Krug? Even in the last year or two, a lot of these listening sessions you've been doing, how have they been going as far as interacting with people?
I've always enjoyed them. I think in my time since I've been a legislature, I've done just shy of 100 of them throughout the old 24th Senate district and the new. And, you know, it's great because oftentimes you have people who come to the table with a different mindset or a different perspective and a different way at tackling some of the issues that we face, whether it's standalone bills or within the state budget. And so getting that sort of feedback, it gives us a really, really good tool when we go back and we're working with our colleagues from around the state, either on the finance committee or in standalone committees, that, you know, we can relay those conversations and that dialogue and put that directly into how we make public policy. So it's extremely valuable. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of focus and attention on sort of the federal town halls, although it's been a little bit more contentious lately with all the activity going on out in D.C. But I think by and large, they've gone extremely well at the state level. And so I'm looking forward to continuing those.
What are some of the more consistent things you're hearing or expected to hear? Maybe it's a better question as far as this budget goes and trying to clear the air on.
Yeah, I think I'm expecting to hear some of the same themes that we did last go around when we went around the state for the Joint Finance Committee. I mean, a lot of conversations as it relates to our state highway system, our rural infrastructure, obviously K-12 education, higher ed, our technical colleges, and then, you know, talking about some of the issues such as childcare. And so I actually just had a really interesting conversation with an organization that creates these public-private partnerships, and they've been in several states, and I think Mississippi's been probably their most successful, where this private company, they actually go out and try and find new early childhood educators and walk them through the process, get them credentialed, help them get their facilities up and running. And in places like Mississippi, with a modest investment from the state, they've been able to increase childcare slots to the tune of over 3,000 and get in many more individuals interested in this career path. And so I think it's some of these outside of the box approaches that we can take and apply here in Wisconsin to address some of these issues like the childcare shortage.
It's so it's really encouraging to hear the sharing of information, looking at what's going on over here and seeing what we can take from it and apply over here. That's encouraging to hear. And certainly when it comes to childcare, one of the more important topics we're facing right now. And given we're facing a lot of important topics right now, I don't know, sir, you've been doing this a long time, but I don't know if it's ever been more vital to have these listening sessions than now.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, obviously at the federal level, there's a lot of conversations and a lot of activity that's going on. And, you know, without diving into the politics of all of it, you know, obviously some people have concerns and, you know, they just want assurances or in a lot of cases just to, you know, provide their input to their federal elected representatives. And, you know, the same goes for us at the state level. I mean, it's critically important if we're going to have a thriving and viable democratic process here in the state that people lend their voices. And that's, you know, one of our most important aspects of our job is to go out and listen to people. And even if we don't always see eye to eye or agree on everything, that's okay. It's just at least having a respectful dialogue and having those relationships built go a long way, I think, to, bridging the divide that we face in a polarized environment.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Petra Testin right now, and I want to ask about your on-the-job visit in a moment. But before that, I couldn't help but notice that you had the Wisconsin Agricultural Youth Council by recently. We wanted to really encourage kids about joining this great council and being a part of our ag industry at a young age.
Yeah, I mean, as the chairman of the Agriculture and Revenue Committee, programs like this are a great pathway to introduce the next generation of the farmers here in the state. And I think any time that we can engage our youth in different types of career paths and how vital our ag industry to the state, especially in our area of the state in central Wisconsin, where we are a heavy grower of potato and vegetables and obviously cranberries, and we've got a number of dairy operations, and And so it's a great program. I encourage people. You can go onto my official Facebook page at Senator Patrick Keston to learn more and sign up. And hopefully, you never know, it might spark an interest in a high school student who never knew that they were interested in a potential career in the egg industry.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I've talked about this with a lot of our extension people and Matt Lippert, our ag agent, before. I think in a different world, I might have ended up in that industry, in that world, just learning more and more about it and everything. There's so many cool and interesting aspects of it. And you find out about it from a young age. You just don't know what might spark there. It may have been different for you, too. If you had been doing this on the job series earlier in your life, we may never had Senator Teston. May have been doing one of these jobs because you were recently in New Lisbon checking out one of our great Wisconsin businesses. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I got to spend a day at Lear Manufacturing. And by and large, people might not be familiar with Lear, but it's a Wisconsin-based company. They have over 250 employees and two locations in Juneau County and right in New Lisbon. And my guess is if you've ever bought a bag of ice from, say, a Quick Trip, you've come across their products. Mm-hmm. They make a number of the ice coolers. In fact, they have about 85% of the market share as it relates to walk-in coolers and the ice coolers. And what was so neat about this, you would think, these big metal containers are going to have a lot of welding going on and a lot of product being cut. What's so unique about Lear is that they have this proprietary technology where essentially they fold the metal and the steel. So basically all these components of the core of the ice container just kind of, they snap together. It was a really great experience. They're an employee-owned company. And everyone I got to work alongside at Lear, they just spoke so highly of the company. And so they put a lot of value and support into their team members, co-owners, as they call them. And so it was a great experience and was I learned a lot coming out of there.
It sounds like it. It sounds like, and one of the cool things about this series is certainly, getting a chance to, experiencing these things and putting a highlight to them, but really reminding people, especially a business like this, that this is a Wisconsin business, that we grab that ice, we don't think much about it, but every once in a while, reminding yourself of that you're investing in our state, you're helping our state with those things. It reminds me as well of talking with our Allison Dairyland and how we remind everybody always to look for that red label, Made in Wisconsin label, and continue to support those in this state working so hard. And it's a fun job. Do you, you don't have to, we can just tease this. You don't have to tell us where you're going to be up to next, but do you have your next on the job series lined up? You know where you're going next?
I think we're still hammering out the final details. Mm-hmm. But once we get that everything set in stone, we'll be sharing that. And what's so great about it now, in years past, every once in a while, we'd have a little production behind these, but now we've got more. So a lot more video to take part in, and then also always try and sit down and have a conversation with the owner or the manager of the company that we're at for a day. It's just a great opportunity to highlight some of the incredible employers that we have here in central and western Wisconsin.
It's also not only a great way for you to get your business out there a little bit more and exposure, but you get to put Senator Teston to work. So, it's a win-win for you. I want to encourage people to reach out to his office if you're a business out there and ask him about his on-the-job series and see if maybe he can stop by your business or establishment. Senator, as we're wrapping up and letting you go, this time of year, I would not be a good journalist if I didn't ask you, did you fill out a bracket?
I did not. I've been so busy this past week and a half that normally we do a pool with my wife's family, and then it dawned on me that yesterday was the first day. I'm like, I knew I forgot to do something. So I sadly am out of the pool this year, but I got to watch several games yesterday and looking forward to seeing how deep the Badgers can go.
I was going to say, these pools are fun and everything, but really, especially with the way the team looks this year, we're kind of locked in on the Badgers. All these other teams are interesting, but we're locked in on the Badgers this year. And I keep telling people, the guards that they got and the guard play that they got with Tanjay and Blackwell and everything, they could go pretty far in this tournament. Guard play traditionally does very well in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's anytime that the Badgers are doing well, it's you can always say it's a great day to be a Badger fan.
Sir, appreciate the time as always. We know how busy you are. Thank you so much for joining us. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more, and they want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, best way to reach out, and especially right now, I encourage people to do so as we are at the very start of the budget process. My office number is 608-266-3123. You can always shoot us an email at sen.mylastnametestin@legis.wi.gov. I encourage you to sign up for my e-update and see what we're working on, and then be sure to follow us on social media. Keep up to date with what we're working on and all the cool things we've got going on around the 24th. And again, encourage people to just show up, if you're able to these joint finance committee hearings that we're going to have around the state. We've got those posted as well. So now's the time to get in touch with your elected officials, make your voices heard, and help us shape a state budget for the next 2 years.
Agreed. And if I could just piggyback on that, when you're at these listening sessions and everybody remember to treat people like an adult, be respectful. That's just the way that we need to be. We need to be much more aware of that going forward and how we treat each other and our representatives. These are people that are individuals taking time out of their lives to represent us as constituents, as people. The least we can do is be adults with each other, regardless whether you agree politically or not. The more we act like adults, the more kids will act like adults when they begin. There. We appreciate you, sir. Have a good weekend.
You too, James.
And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.